The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, good, thanks. I had a little sleep, so
good.
It was intense, but so good.
So intense. My voice is going from like all of the screaming. I've never screamed so much at a netball event in my whole life. It was very intense. That home crowd was something else, wasn't it? You've been working a lot. You were busy over the Con Games. First of all, give me your kind of impression of what it was like to commentate on so many games, how you got through it. Like, you know, how difficult was that?
It was crazy. So Sunset and Vine were the production company for the host feed and for the world feed. And to work for them was just, it was amazing. Like the whole team just brought so much energy every day. And then with the likes of Caroline, Catherine, Jenny Woods from New Zealand, and then Lisa Alexander as well. So our commentary team was a nice little bubble together. But it did mean that there was so many games that we were covering. But I got to see all these amazing athletes and get to find out more about them and talk about them and then see them come together on the court. So, it was so special. But I think it was about Tuesday, I think, where I thought, I'm going to die. I just need some sleep. But then once we got past the halfway point, it was, everyone was lifting, like all the volunteers around. Like I literally saw the hotel at the Resort World Arena, which was amazing, by the way, and the NEC. That was all I saw for the whole 10 days. Yeah, it was like being on tour again. Where you just see the hotel, the sports hall and the airport. But even so, like everyone just, like we're talking about, the vibes were just insane. And it was just, we're watching the sport we love.
Exactly. What's not to love? I mean, I guess there are some things not to love, i.e. the result. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I mean, the fact that we're talking about the Con Games and we've been talking about the vibes and the DJ and the commentating experience, I think says a lot about, you know, how we're feeling. And it's obviously still the heartbreak of actually what happened on court for England. It's not the result that we wanted. I guess, what's your first impression about the fourth place position for the Roses?
Yeah, and exactly what you just said, like, that's, I'm trying to, put it to one side, not think about it, and still enjoy all the great bits of it, but you can't ignore it. And the girls, they were gunning for that gold medal, and we were all gunning for it with them. And the home games here at Birmingham and everything around it was kind of set up to be this amazing thing. And then it just didn't click for them. I couldn't tell you exactly where or why, but the other teams just brought it when they needed to bring it. And I was hoping for a Jamaica-England final. That was just to change up the world order and to kind of bring something new to a final. And I thought that would be fire. But credit to Australia, Greta Beretta, oh my God, hands down, another level.
Ridiculous. We will get on to the other teams 100% because I definitely want to discuss Greta Beretta in great detail because I'm a little bit obsessed with her. But before that, let's just go back to the Roses. And I think it's, you know, it's the hope that kills you. And that's what me and my friends were saying in the stands when we were watching it, and just that sense of deflation and the heartbreak of it. I mean, that is sport, and you know, nothing's ever guaranteed, nothing's ever in the bag. And you know, it's, hindsight is a beautiful thing. And subsequently, since in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours, I've been thinking about it a lot and chatting with my netball friends, and we've been like, were we deluded to think that we were gonna get to that position? Like, was there an element of the occasion, of the hype of it all, of the romanticism of being the defending champions at home games? Was that kind of slightly blindsiding us from the reality of what we actually had to contest against the Australians and the Jamaicans? And I'm not sure, what do you think about that?
No, I don't think we should have thought any differently. I think we had a really strong team that could have gone there and and done the business, hence why they were selected in the squad.
They
started so well, and I know they weren't really tested until they came up against New Zealand on that Thursday, and they smashed it. They put out such a consistent performance over those 60 minutes. The interchanges work seamlessly, and that's the England that we know and the England that we thought would come again in those semis, but that didn't happen. And like you say, it's sport. I don't think the occasion was a detriment. A thing to celebrate, to be in your home country with all your friends and family, with literally 90% of the crowd on your side. What's not to give you that energy and that spark to go, I'm going to do my utmost and my best. And we don't know what happens behind the scenes or what was going on, whether anything changed during the camp or whatnot, or just players were, what's the word you're looking for? Just couldn't take it right to the end. There's all sorts of things that could have contributed to it. And I think that's what Jess and the team and England Netball will sit down and review post this. But it's not something that we can, from the outside, sit back and criticise, I don't think.
I definitely agree with that. And I think it's, it was the occasion, like you say, made it all the more special for the players. And you could see how much they wanted it and the fire and the passion from everyone on court. And that was a beautiful thing to witness. Obviously, we're not in the camp, we're not there with them. But from your perspective as former captain, what do you think let us down in those last couple of games? Where do you think it fell down slightly?
One part I think I did see was that kind of discipline side of things. And I know some of those calls were a bit dodgy and 50-50 or 80-20 at times. But it's the way we reacted to some of them. I think the days where you, and Australia do it so well. I think in that game versus Jamaica, they won 74 penalties compared to Jamaica's 30s or something. And the way that they can, yes, they get called by an umpire, but it's okay, cool, set the penalty, crack on, do the same thing again. And I think we were caught a little bit kind of feeling aggrieved by some of the calls or questioning them or not being quick enough to get back into the game. I thought that was one side. And then the other area I picked, in that first Thursday game against New Zealand, they all came out, they were dancing, they were smiling. Even Helen did a little jig on the transverse line.
Alyssa danced.
Yeah, exactly. there was all those kind of vibes. And I didn't get that in the semis. I thought whether the occasion or might have got to them or whatnot, I just didn't see that connective cohesion and that fun element that we'd seen in previous games.
That's very true. And that's what I was kind of alluding to with the occasion. And I think it's about the kind of the pressure and the flip side of having the home crowd and having everyone behind you is that sense of expectation. We have never gone into a competition as the champions. We've never had to defend a gold before. And that's a completely different dynamic to any of those players, to what they'll have experienced before. Even the most experienced players on the court, they've never gone in thinking, having in the back of their mind, we know what it feels like to win. Let's try and do that again. Do you think that's that kind of mental element would have had a bit of an effect?
Yes, yes and no. But then, they might not have done it at England, but quite a few of those players have won back-to-back in Super League. And I know it's not the same as internationally, but it's still that same feeling of having to defend your title.
And it's
a different games. It's not the Gold Coast. It's a different team. So that's why I think there's more positives by it being a home games than there are the negatives.
I agree. And, from a fan's perspective, it was the greatest spectacle of all time. And I'm just bring on more of that because it was just felt incredible to be in that crowd.
Hi, it's Gretel Boetta and you're listening to The Netball Show.
So let's talk about our, ferocious opposition and the incredible netball that we saw elsewhere in the competition. And I think, I think first of all, the Ferns have achieved something incredible by taking that bronze, because I know Nolan was really kind of playing it down and really kind of you know, not wanting to, you know, she said it was going to be really difficult for them to medal this competition. And so for them to get as much youth out and to give people that experience and then also take home a medal, I feel like they've kind of had the best possible outcome for what they, for the squad that they had this year. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, totally agree. And I think the injuries with Karen Berger not being there and then Ekinazio not quite being fit enough and returning yeah. back from giving birth. So she had to make do with, make do sounds like a really down phrase, but the athletes she still brought over were yeah. amazing. And you look at like yeah. Kate Heffernan, where did she yeah. come from? Grayson wow. Mweke, like the oh, change that we've seen from, you know, from January to now, a whole nother level. And Nolene Tyrrell, she's like a magician anyway. I said this lots of times, and her and Deb Fuller, how they yes. work together with different athletes and just bring out the best of them at the right time. It's crazy. But she did always say from the start, like the numbers, she's always like stats and numbers, that this yes. team was better than the team that went, that won the World Cup, was what the numbers were saying. So yeah. I don't know. But based on what everyone's perception was and all the Kiwi fans as well, they were like, if we get anything, that is a bonus. I guess that lack of, we talked about it for England, that lack of pressure mm. for a team that's so young and so ununiformed or know each other collectively for that one, that might have played into their hands. They were able to just go under the radar and do their own thing. And all the semis were close. Like, they did get a little bit of a beating from Jamaica, but when they played us, it was quite tight right up until that very end. And just some great intercepts from Imogen Allison and Laura Malcolm. Is what did it in that last quarter. So they just quietly went about their business, and then come the business end of it, they delivered.
They did. They really did. So let's talk about our silver medalists, Jamaica, the Sunshine Girls. Absolute revelations in this competition. I feel like I've been waiting for them to step into this moment forever. And so many fans I'm sure will relate to this. I'm like, we've all seen their potential. We've seen what they can do, and I think we've been willing them on. So to see it come together for them, to see it happen, and for them to iron out some of the problems that they've had in the past, it was beautiful. And I'm so excited for them and for their future. What are your thoughts on the Jamaicans and how they've done?
Wow, like another level. To be able to just put out those performances day in, day out, it was so great to see a different side to Jamaica. And I think Connie Francis and Rob Wright have just done a fabulous job with that team. Like in terms of the I played Jamaica a lot in my past. Yeah. And you know, if you can just get a little bit ahead of them, or if on any given day they just don't turn up, their heads aren't in air, you've already won the game.
Yeah.
And so we just see a different mentality to themselves, a lot more discipline, a lot more control. And then from when we saw them in December for the series, that centre court, Dixon Rochester, she has brought a whole new element to it, and that ability to feed. But it's not just her attacking game, her defensive game.
We're
already talking about Sterling Wilson, Jodie Ann Ward, they get ball for fun. But with her in the mix as well, that just locked down that defensive end. And then you've got Fowler, like the shooting queen, like
she's unbelievable,
so good. And then I think she's, her percentages were like 97% for the whole competition. Who does that? Who does?
Honestly, it's mad. It's a madness. She is incredible. And I think that this tournament really showed off the technicality of the Jamaican attack, and that feeding into Fowler, and how technical and complex a skill that is. That it's not just you lob it to your tall shooter. And I think they get a bit of stick for that, feeling like something that's, it's easy. If we had a 6'5" goal shooter, we could do that too. And it's like, no, like the way she positions, the way she moves herself to that, you know, that perfect placement. It was just amazing to see that. And I'm glad the whole world got to see her at her very best. Where do you think it could end with them? Do you think they can do what it takes to get them to the next level? Particularly now they've got this incredible investment from Ray and Nephews off the back of their silver win, which I love.
£14 million. That's, wow. You see, success breeds more success. And if you go, kind of, yeah, get put out those performances and people see it and then they want to be part of it. They want to be part of that, your journey, and see you grow. And yes, they are coming into it now that they're second, but it is better than nothing. And I think they could definitely step up even further, because this is a change we've seen in, what, 6 months?
So rapid.
And they continue to play against the best in the world week in, week out, whether that's in SSN or in our Vitality Netball Super League. I think they need to another wing attack, I think, to kind of help solidify that attacking end so that you can make some changes in there. You've already got Nelson on the bench, who is also doing amazing stats when she comes on. So not a bad second place for Fowler. And it's just continuing that consistency of work and that consistency of mind, because now they've got the belief. They kind of always had the belief, but they didn't have the kind of structure to keep them going through. Now they've got it all. So they're definitely a force that we should watch out for going forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you watch the game, if you were in the stadium, all of the Roses fans, well, I can't speak for everyone, but it felt like almost all of the Roses fans were behind Jamaica. And I was just really pleased that they were able to give such a good account of themselves on that occasion, in that final, and to get so close to an Australian side that took it to a completely different level. Like, obviously, they have been incredible throughout the tournament. I started watching in their pool games and I was like, oh no, uh-oh, like, wow. Australia have brought a serious, serious team. You'd expect nothing less, obviously. But to see them in the final, I think that was like, you know, a sublime performance in every area of the court. I love to see it as much as I also hate to see it, but I did love to see the skill level. It was beautiful to watch. Pains me to admit it, but it was beautiful. What were some of your highlights about what the Australians were doing in that final?
Yeah, well, because the first couple of games, I hadn't really got to see them because Lisa was covering those games. And then as it went on, then I picked up, and exactly as you say, like, how can they just raise their game exactly when they needed to? How can they kind of, those performances from even Brazel at wing defense, like
Brazel, unreal,
shut it down. And then in the, let's talk about the final. Those changes were so key, but then they worked on them during the tournament, and they had some key positional switches and some key units, but a lot of more consistency than I think we saw from the Roses. And so when things were going a little bit away in that final and Jamaica was starting to pull ahead, just that quick two change, bringing Clough on at goalkeeper and bringing Conan on at goal shooter, moving Beretta out to goal attack, which is her favourite position, where we've seen her just smash it for time and time again. Like, those key moves at the right time with the right people just took themselves again to a new gear. And like you say, it pains me because Australia win everything. but to watch the beauty of the netball that they put out was a joy to watch.
It really was. I think the only way we can take it is to be inspired and to you know, that's what we want to aim for. We want to be putting out performances that are beautiful like that. We want to be being that calculated with our decision making, so that our combinations are building towards something, like you say, that you can execute them just when you need to. Those changes were inspired. They were genius. And I think when I was watching, I was like, oh my God, look at these changes. And in my mind, I was like, oh, they're rattled. They don't know what they're having to make all these big, significant changes to their key players. And I thought this could be the moment where Jamaica could push ahead. But that just showed how impactful those changes could be, and it changed the whole game. And Australia looked unplayable from that point. They looked unbeatable. And let's talk about Boetta, because I don't understand how she was doing the things that she was doing. It seems to defy physics and reality. I don't understand how she's doing it. Like, why is she How can she be so strong? How can she take balls in the air like that when you've got the best defenders in the world all over? How is she doing that? How is she leaping, taking that ball, landing? I don't understand.
She is a phenomenon. Like, but it's credit to her, though. She put so much work into her craft, into everything that she does. And she has so much joy doing it. And I think that her athleticism, her footwork, that scoring ability, her also 95% plus shooting stats. Yeah. Like, that is a sniper. But she's so calculated in her timing. Like, there's some moves I just see. She's miles behind the defender. And then within, like, you blink and she's found a way to get in front, get a ball, turn under the post, shoot. Like, it just begs belief how she does it. But it's that constant work. And that's when you know someone is really applying themselves to their craft day in, day out.
Clearly, like, the work ethic there. I tweeted, I was like, can you please drop your strength program? Because I need to be hitting the gym like she is. I need to be that solid. It's crazy. And there were also quite a few points in the final where I was just like, she's just going to do it all by herself. Like, she'd take the back line, get the second pass, get the third pass, feed herself in somehow, and then shoot and score. And I was like, she doesn't even need anyone else. Like, she's on her own.
Totally. And then the thing was, the others around her really complimented her style of play. And so, and Kona coming in, that kind of cut through the middle of the Jamaican defence, sucked defenders on her, opened up Weta in the back and vice versa. So their timing was so in sync. It was just like a dance. Mm.
It's sublime. So to finish up then, where do we go from here? How do we rebuild? How do we get our heads back up? Obviously, we've had some turnover as well. We've got, you know, it was Stacey and Ebony, their final game. That was so emotional to see them do their guard of honour. Like tears, so many tears for that. What epic legends of the game. But where do we go from here as the Roses?
Well, it's back to the drawing board, really. And we do have some great players coming through the pathway, and we've seen that in the Super League. So it's about how can we now develop them to step into those positions and other positions as well, so that there's that constant competition and that we build strength in depth. We lose that experience with Stacey and Ebony, which is, I know when she Ebony came on court, I was like, I'm already upset for the Roses. And add to my list. It's all about me, I know, sorry. but it's like, let's develop that kind of winning culture, that kind of, we didn't get what we wanted to do, and we put everything into getting to this point. Let's figure out where we went wrong. Let's go back in, let's analyze that. Let's speak to the players, find out how they find the whole thing. Because playing in a Commonwealth Games or World Cup is a completely different environment to playing in a test series. And that mental strength that you have to be able to go day in, day out on your rest days, when there's not much you can do because you're trying to rest, but still keep yourself occupied and in the game. It's a skill you've got to learn. And some of those youngsters need to get that as well. I'm not giving you like a exactly do X, Y, and Z, because I think there's so much information that needs to be gathered first. And so kind of thought through process to go forward. And then we've got the test series in October versus Uganda. That will be amazing. They were so good.
Incredible.
Ayaro at goal attack. I loved her.
I know. The whole thing was so, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that sort of series. I think that'll be amazing. And obviously it's, you know, we were all hoping for a total change in the world order of netball. Mm. That's what we're kind of pushing for, because, you know, that it makes the sport better. It makes it better for everyone globally. And that's, you know, we've seen that start to happen in the last few years, and it's been really exciting. And, you know, in a sense, the Aussies winning again is a restoring of the world order, but really, I don't think that reflects what the Commonwealth Games actually did, and it was disruptive for that world order. Uganda finishing above South Africa, I think, shows that
there's going to be a lot of change in that South African squad. I think definitely, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. They should. Everybody should be pushing. Nobody should be complacent. That top four shouldn't be predetermined. And, you know, the less we can predict the semis and the finals, the better the entire competition will be for the spectators as well, and everyone watching at home and bringing in new audiences. So it's all good, essentially, is to end on a positive. See us building. This is what I need. I need to G myself up now, but after the heartbreak. So
yeah, definitely. And that, you're spot on. That it was heartbreaking. And every Rose, every England fan, everyone would have been devastated with that result. None more so than the players and the support staff. But on a global scale, on a world netball scale, this was the people's games, as they like to call it. This was the kind of where we saw some great athletes from the Caribbean, from Africa, from the world, the ones we already know in Australia and New Zealand and, and England. But the world order did shift. And the standard of netball, I think, did shift again. And teams now are in it to compete. And that's all you can ask for from our sport. The fact that every time players step out on the court, every time each team comes to a competition, they're here to give it everything. And some of those games were so close. And you're on the edge of your seat, like commentating. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know which way it was going to go and who was going to do this next amazing flick or chip or shot from downtown or intercept. Like, that is what we want from netball. And it was so exciting to see every session just packed out and people loving our sport. And it's just credit to everybody involved and all the players, all the teams, Louise and her events crew, like everybody just made it so special. The volunteers, like so many high fives and smiles that just kind of kept me going throughout.
Yeah, they were amazing. They were the best vibes. I love
you know. Yeah. So the fact that we can bring so much joy to people and to sports fans is a real blessing. And not many sports can say that. So we definitely loads of positives to take from it. And lots of teams will be going back to the drawing board. We'll be regrouping and looking at their stuff on court and off court. Other teams will be celebrating, but also looking to keep pushing forward. So, it's good.
It is good. It is good. That feels like a perfect point to leave it. So thank you so much for joining me, Pam. This has been a beautiful chat. and yeah, I feel better. It feels cathartic to talk about it. I feel like I needed to. Thank you for allowing the space to vent at you. Thank you so much. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, Devo. Thanks, Nat.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Raising the bar for netball and women's sport.